Miss Pat is a longtime stand-up comedian, best-selling author, and TV star. As far as the book writing is concerned, she has a memoir out called Rabbit. On the TV side of things, she has The Miss Pat Show, 3 seasons currently available on BET Plus and Amazon Prime, 2 Primetime Emmy nominations to show for those 3 seasons, with the 4th season coming out at the end of May, and the much more recent Miss Pat Settles It on BET, where Miss Pat is essentially Judge Judy dealing with all sorts of crazy issues. As a matter of fact, here's a clip from that show.
She pulls out the wig, and I'm like... Okay.
Was it human hair?
It was synthetic.
Did you know that you brought her a synthetic wig?
When I got the wig, it was fabulous.
Is the wig here today?
Yes,
baby,
it is.
Can I get the wig?
So, Your Honor.
Oh, hell no.
That's not the wig. That's not.
Y'all.
I didn't, that's not my work. That is not my work.
Okay, look at it.
Oh, hell no.
Give it a spin so everybody can see the whole hair. Dear God.
You are a liar.
I need you to be quiet.
You can also hear her on the Pat Down with Miss Pat podcast. And if you're here in Austin for Moon Tower Comedy Festival, you can see her and her Your Girl Done Made It tour this Thursday, April 18th at the Paramount Theater at 9:30. Go to austintheater.org for tickets. Miss Pat, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. I'm in the middle of building a house, but I'm okay. I'm stuck in a closet. So I was like, this is the only quiet place I can get today.
Well, how is the home build coming along? I know you've been talking about it on your podcast and some others as well. This is your dream home that you and your husband are getting to build for y'all's extensive family. Is everything up to snuff so far in your mind?
It's been rough, but we almost there. So I can't complain. I was a GC on the project. So we made some mistakes, but we're here now.
That's right. If you ever do it again, those are mistakes that you're hopefully going to be avoiding the next time, right?
I can build your home better than I built my home. Take my word.
So I'm excited for you coming to Moon Tower again. I mean, you've been to Austin countless times in the past, and you are playing at the Paramount Theater this Thursday, the 18th at 9:30. Tickets at austintheater.org. And you went on your first theater tour last fall. You were excited about it at the time. I haven't really heard an update since then, though. So how was it making the adjustment from going to a 200 to 300 seat club to theaters that sometimes were seating upwards of 2,000 people?
I'm not going to lie. In the beginning, it was scary because you have a whole weekend to sell those tickets versus one night. But I actually like theaters. I do. And the thing with me, I think what I miss about clubs, because they're so intimate, so you get to go out and meet the people. Well, I still do meet and greets. I just come out and meet everybody. And I know a lot of talent has gotten away from that, but I like people. I love hearing different stories. And I'm a comedian. You want to hear those things because you might just find a diamond in the rough.
No question about that. And you're right. I was thinking about that. The party that you've thrown the last couple of years for your fans and how you really do make that effort to touch each and every person who has taken the time and maybe a little bit of financial commitment to come and see you in return. Is that just your attempt to give back to people who have allowed you so much in your own life?
That is my attempt to give back. And, you know, I want to show appreciation. I can't reach out and touch everybody. Everybody can't come to the party, but it's just my way of saying thank you. You know, and I try to have a relationship with just about all the fans, which I can't, but I also let them know that I'm human. So I have, like, if you come in my inbox, I might answer you back.
By the same token, if you're going there on Thursday, don't yell out. She'll talk to you at the end of the show. She's got a show to perform herself. And it's a weird place that we find ourselves in 2024 with stand-up comedy, Miss Pat, because on the one hand, comedy, I don't know if it's ever been more popular. On the other hand, I think a lot of people who are new to the art form come to shows thinking that the crowd work clips that maybe got them to notice a comedian in the first place entitles them to become a part of the show. But the reality is you've got an hour that you've probably worked your butt off for the last 6 months, year, maybe even more than that. And them yelling random stuff out in the middle of that is very disruptive to you and then everybody else trying to watch the show around them too.
You know, I used to post crowd work clips. That's why I stopped. because people will run, just come to the show and start a whole conversation. When people bought a ticket, they don't want to hear this crap you yelling out. So, you know, I went back and forth with my team. They was like, oh, but the crowd work was working. Not for me. I want you to come and listen to this hour that I've worked out, that I've traveled, that I went to open mic for and beat up to get right for you. I don't have time to be yelling out. And I tell people all the time, I'm not the one that you want to yell out, because I might not say something nice back.
It may not be worthy, or it may not be appropriate for social media when it's all said and done.
Exactly. And the last thing you want me to do is post you and me going out. So I tell people up front, shut the hell up. I don't care if it's your birthday. You can tell me after the show, we can say happy birthday to you. But nobody cares. It's your birthday. It's a lot of people's birthday today.
Exactly. What is it that you love about getting to perform here in Austin, Miss Pat?
Man, good weather, good people. The Mexican food is off the chain. Yep. I don't think I ever had it bad, and I love Mexican food. I just like coming to Texas. I almost moved to Dallas with my husband, John General, but we chose Indiana. So Texas is one of the places I like coming. The weather is always nice, and the people, it's the South. People just, like Atlanta, they love to have a good time.
Wait, so you went from Dallas to Indiana. There is a stark difference in those two places.
Well, I wanted to go to Dallas, but my husband wanted to go to Indiana. He worked at General Motors, so Indiana called first. And so I really wanted to live in Dallas. Right. And my husband said, nope, I'm not going to another big city. I want to go where the corn is. So we went to Plainfield, Indiana. And that's how I got the show, the Miss Pat Show.
Sure, it provided you a lot of fodder that you can now use on the sitcom, but you are happily in the Atlanta area once again, though.
I'm back home. I told my husband, I said, I can't live like this. These people go to church 3 days a week. They eat dinner together. I don't want to be, I got to get back to Atlanta. And so after 15 years, we back and we're building a house. And I'm just so happy to be back home.
Cool. Well,
and I'm a Colts fan, so I could never, I hated living in Indiana.
Yeah, Colts fans are a weird bunch. You're a Falcons fan. Are you excited that Kirk Cousins is now your starting quarterback, considering all the weapons he's got around him now?
Child, everybody had weapons that come here. It seemed like they run out of bullets. So I'm not going to get – hey, baby, I tell them all the time, a Falcon fan is like waiting on your real daddy to come back. It may or may not happen. So I'm not going to get excited. The car might not pull up.
That's right. Yeah, you're kind of like Cowboys fans at this point. You feel so spurned that it's hard to put any too much hope or faith into your football team, because you know your heart's going to get broken at the end of the year, right?
Oh, I'm always going with hope. I'm a season ticket holder. I mean, I will slap you about the Falcons, but I also would like to slap the Falcons sometimes. So, you know, they say, oh my God, this is our Super Bowl year, whatever. I'm going to keep my season tickets, but I'm going to also keep what I close, because it might not happen.
Well, there's actually a lot of Falcons fans here in Austin now, because they drafted Bijan Robinson this last year. And unfortunately, Arthur Smith was just a complete moron in how he chose to use him last football season. Hopefully now that Raheem Morris is there, they're going to unlock Bijan's potential, because he has a chance to be the best running back in the National Football League, no question.
Is Bijan from Austin?
Yeah, he's a UT guy. He's actually from Arizona originally, but he played his college ball for the Texas Longhorns.
Oh, I got on a picture with Bijan. I have a floor seat, so I talk to him sometime. I'm going to hit him up there. So I'm headed to your school hometown this weekend.
Bijan's an awesome dude. I mean, easy to root for in a variety of capacities. And now that he may actually have a head coach who respects his talent on the field, that might help y'all win a few more games.
Well, we're going to keep praying. Let's talk about comedy.
Talk a little comedy. Yeah, exactly. Well, Falcons comedic at times, the Cowboys comedic at times. Your life, you have turned it into a pretty enormous comedy career. You've talked a lot about your past, your upbringing, the fact that you had a couple of kids, before the age of 14 or 15, you were a drug dealer in your teenage years. You ended up going to prison a couple of times as a result of that. But I very rarely hear you talk about some of the things that I really appreciated in your memoir that came out a couple years ago, titled Rabbit. For instance, why was a third grade teacher named Miss Troop a hugely important influence on your childhood, Miss Pat?
I think because she understood the household that I went to. So I think she saw a child in need. And instead of looking the other way, she she opened her arms. And, you know, she was that mother figure when I went to school every day. She gave me something that I wasn't getting at home, and she knew it. I mean, I tell teachers all the time, if you just pay attention, that child might not be bad. That child might be reaching out for something. But we're so quick in this society to just push people away. And especially kids say, oh, he's troubled. Oh, he's this. Oh, they this. And, you know, and you just don't know how you're running them. And I think with Ms. Troop, she saw something in me, and she saw that I needed a need, and she filled a need for me. She's the first person whoever told me you can do and be anything in this world you want to be. All you got to do is dream.
Everybody needs people pumping them full of positivity. Certainly kids are in that category too, because if you hear nothing but negativity when you're a kid, that is so harmful for your overall development.
Yeah, I mean, you just never know what light you're putting out in a child. I mean, to me, every child is born with so many light bulbs on. And as they go through society, people put them out.
Yeah.
And it takes other people to light them back. And I think with Miss Truth, she gave me hope. She, you know, even though I went home to a bad situation every day, she made me realize I'm not going to always be in this situation. You know, just by brushing my teeth, just by combing my hair, just by instilling the things that she said to me, just by, you know, taking up the time that she took up with me, that I didn't even get at home. And I had a mom at home.
Even though you didn't end up getting into stand-up comedy, I think, until your early 20s, you admit in this book.
Late 20s.
Yeah. You admit that prior to that, you used comedy as a sort of defense mechanism. I think you even quoted in your book, you learned how to laugh to keep from crying. Was there a moment that helped you understand the value of that to keep you from giving up and to make sure not to just push forward, but also to thrive as a result of your sense of humor?
Well, when I was younger, you know, I got picked on a lot. So I'm from the South. You have to learn how to do something called joning. People call it different from different place, you know, sides of the world. But here in Atlanta, we call it down South, we call it joning. So that would keep people off of you, you know, and for messing with you, because they knew I had a leak of tongue. So as I got into comedy, I realized, you know, I never went and got counseling or anything like that, but comedy was counseling for me. It healed me. It allowed me to sit there and say all the stuff that I would have said to a counselor. And instead of somebody just staring at me like I'm crazy, I got 200 drunk people and we're laughing together.
It makes sense.
Because if I went to counseling, I would have been crying. But I was at a comedy club when I started confessing, so we was all laughing together. Because it was so many people, it's people in the audience. Just because they haven't been through what you've been through, they probably know somebody who's been through that, or they've been through it themselves.
Or it's a completely new experience to them, and you're opening a world to them that they were completely unfamiliar with prior to you talking about it.
And that too.
Well, that's important also. That's one of the reasons why I really like your comedy, not just your stand-up, but the TV show, my wife and I. We ended up subscribing to BET Plus because I wanted to see season one of your shows so badly. And seasons two and three have not disappointed either. Like, you talk about real stuff and you have earnest conversations about them. And we are in desperate need for that right now. I think it started to improve a little bit over these last couple of years. But especially in the era of COVID, we became afraid to have disagreeable conversations with one another or even talk about the difficult to discuss things. That's why it's crucial for those who have the capability of doing so to do so. And I think that clearly you're in that category. So thank you for that.
Well, I'm not trying to tell people just because we have different, we do things different, don't mean we can't communicate. Like I posted just 2 days ago, I posted cereal was hot. And I'm wearing a Gucci hat. They was like, well, how can you complain about cereal? And you got on a Gucci hat. I'm like, this Gucci hat ain't buying me cereal. Hey, y'all, I'm in the same economy as you guys. And they was like, wait, stop, vote for Biden. Well, what do my vote have to do with this? Because if you can respect my vote, I can respect your vote. And the video went viral, and everybody's arguing, and I'm a welfare queen, and I'm poor, and I'm this. And I'm like, wow, really? Y'all gonna take my video and just take it out of proportion like that? All because I said cereal was high enough. I'm a black woman wearing a Gucci hat. Oh my God, don't you dare wear something designer and complain about $7 a box cereal. I believe other people, rich people, and I'm not rich. I believe rich people complain too. They do it in a different way.
Well, sadly, because you're talking about social media, who knows how many of those negative comments are actually coming from humans? It could just be coming from bots that are just stirring up nonsense to get people at one another's throats, you know?
And that's probably what it is, too. Because, babe, I've been called everything in a little bit. And I said, oh, because I said a box of cereal is $7. Well, don't vote for Joe Biden. I said, ma'am, I don't care who we vote for. These cereals ain't not going down, okay? Calm down, y'all. So I started saying to everybody who said something negative, I said, I love you. I love you. I love you.
Nothing will piss somebody off more than if they're trying to spit vitriol at you and you just say, I love you in return. Whatever.
And that's all I say now. I love you. Calm down. It's going to be okay. We're going to make it through this. And I still bought the series.
So you said that you were successful at slinging crack because your customer service game was so on point. What is good customer service in the crack game, Miss Pat?
I think I had Chick-fil-A customer service selling crack. Because I was... I did forget this. I didn't say please and thank you, but I did say thank you. I didn't say I'm at your service because I didn't want the police to lock me up. I can't always be at your service. But I just treated, you know, even though, you know, people was buying crack at that time, you know, people thought because you was on drugs that they could treat you any kind of way. I always just treated people like a human being. I can't tell you, you know, what to spend your money on or what you like. Thank you for spending your money with me, but I'm quite sure Chick-fil-A say the same thing when I go through their drive-thru 20 times a week. You know, we ain't gonna tell you this chicken ain't that healthy, but we appreciate you keep coming by. So it ain't no different.
Well, plus they are very quick with getting those orders out. You see that line, it's wrapped around the building. You assume you're gonna sit there for an hour and 15 minutes later, you're driving away.
And that's how I serve my crack.
Quick. Shot twice in your life, once in the head and once through your titty. You've also had 4 kids, I believe, if I'm counting correctly. What hurts the worst between those three things?
A child labor is very painful, but when you get shot and your adrenaline is going, it really hurts the next day. Like, I didn't even know I was shot in my boot. But the next day, it was so painful. And plus, I'm very top-heavy. So the way they shot me, it drug. You know, when I was having a bra, my top drags the ground. So it was very painful picking it up, putting peroxide on it, and just nursing it back.
Oh, you didn't even go to the hospital for that?
I did go to the hospital for it, okay. Yeah. It was a clean, it went clean through. So it was nothing they could really do.
Gotcha, gotcha. So you have Bill Clinton to thank partially for your stand-up career. It was a welfare-to-work program that helped encourage you to get into stand-up comedy through the welfare agent who said that it would be a good idea for you to get on stage. And after you got on stage, and I guess it entered your blood, you were addicted at that point. You went and bought a bunch of Richard Pryor albums to really try and learn the art form a little bit more. And you give Richard Pryor a lot of credit for helping you to understand how to tell a story. What did Richard Pryor teach you about telling a story, Miss Pat?
Richard Pryor taught me honesty, because he was, if you listen to his old, you know, CDs and stuff, watch his DVDs, it's all honesty. It's coming from the heart. He didn't care what you thought about him. He told you what went on in his life from a childhood to every day. And I started to get into Bill Clinton, Bill Cosby also, because his art form of telling a story was so unique. So I kind of studied both of them. But Bill Clinton, I don't know why I want to say Bill Clinton. Richard Pryor gave me confidence to be able to say where I came from or what I've been through and not be ashamed and not worry about what people thought about me. And for me, he showed me how to craft it like in a funny form. Because if you can laugh about what you've been through, other people will laugh about it. Like, I used to tell a joke, I used to tell a bit about getting shot in the back of the head. And I used to say, well, it wasn't my fault. It wasn't his fault. It was my fault because I ducked slow. But it took me 2 years to get that together because nobody wanted to hear a woman had been shot in the back of the head. And once I said it was my fault and I ducked slow, the audience lost.
Huh. Interesting. By the way, I feel like your show, the Miss Pat Show, is kind of like a modern version of the Cosby Show, more honest and also less potential for sexual assault when the cameras aren't rolling too. So congratulations on it.
Child, we don't want it. We don't want each other and we don't want nobody else.
So I heard you mention on your podcast that you have a trip planned for Dubai next year. Normally, you take you and your extended family and friends to a Disney theme park, but y'all are going to Dubai. I mean, what's in stock for Dubai, or why did you want to go to Dubai next year?
We went to Disney. We went to Universal, Disney Cove, and we went to Epcot this year. Mm-hmm. And so I just started, you know, as a little black girl from the inner city of Atlanta, didn't get Christmas is my favorite holiday. I put up my 12 trees, but I was always giving my kids toys and they threw them away. So I said, well, you know, I'm 52 years old. I want to make memories. I want them to be able to be in a conversation. My mama took me there. And, you know, I have grandkids, and then I have four adopted kids that I have that's from my niece. So I just started this whole thing with me and my friends. I said, we put our trip on that one. We pay for it the whole year. And then we go, you know, we going. So I pick the trip every year. I organize it. And they was like, I said, what about Dubai this year, y'all? They was like, let's do it.
I know you're not doing it for the club, but you really are. The ultimate caretaker. You obviously had kids of your own, stepkids, kids that you've adopted, kids that you've taken in. For you, as somebody who has parented over the course of decades now, what do you think the biggest challenge is for parents in 2024, Miss Pat?
The internet. You know, back in the day, you could just easily raise them. They didn't know. They only knew what was going on in the world when you allowed the world to come into your house. Now they got the world at their hand, the internet. I mean, it will make your child act and talk a different way. They get exposed to stuff so much more quicker. So I have two ninth graders that don't even have cell phones, but they go to public school where they still get exposed to crazy stuff. So I would say it would be the internet. You got to fight against what YouTube and the world is teaching them on top of what you're trying to teach them. Because what you're trying to teach them might not be as cool as what the internet is trying to teach them.
I completely agree with that answer. And just a couple more now, Miss Pat. First, smart people tend to ask themselves a lot of questions. And at a given point in time, there tends to be one overriding question over all the others. You're obviously a very smart person. You're very accomplished as well. Is there that one question for you right now? And if so, what is it?
You're going to think I'm crazy, Sandy.
Let's hear it.
Question I ask myself all the time. Why do people think I'm famous? I just have a job. Am I famous? Well, is that the point where I can't go to the store sometimes, especially Walmart, because people always stop me, and I like going to the grocery store with no bra on, and people be looking at me like, is that her? That's a crackhead. That ain't her. And my husband's like, why don't you just admit that you're famous and put yourself on a bra? I don't want no bra. I don't want no makeup.
Comfort. Comfort is the key. Key to happiness.
Ask your wife. She know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I see it every day at about 5:30 or 6 o'clock. She comes home. There's one thing that comes off first, and it's not her left tennis shoe, Miss Pat.
I know, baby. Some two buckles on the back, and I got a whole seat duck in my back, and I have to come up out of it. You hear me? I hate bras, and you know, that's one of the things I fight with. Am I famous? Is anybody gonna know me? I ask myself that every day. And my mother's like, "Yes, Pat. Yes, they gonna know me. Time I get out of the car, mid power."
All right, last question right now. And by the way, you can see Miss Pat at Moon Tower Comedy Festival this Thursday, Paramount Theater, 9:30. Go to austintheater.org for tickets. What do you love about stand-up comedy, Miss Pat?
The freedom. The freedom. And I'm a convicted felon. It don't check my background. I love the freedom to say whatever the hell I want to say. And I love it. I mean, it's been my healing for the last 20 years. I love stand-up.
There it is. I cannot recommend the stand-up enough. The memoir called Rabbit, The Miss Pat Show, 3 seasons out now on BET Plus. You can actually stream through Amazon Prime as well. Miss Pat Settles It, which is on BET. It's essentially Judge Judy, but it's Miss Pat with more real life sorts of problems. The Pat Down with Miss Pat podcast. And yes, she is bringing your girl Done Made It Tour to Moon Tower Comedy Festival this Thursday here in Austin at the Paramount Theater, 9:30 show. Go to austintheater.org for tickets. Miss Pat, real pleasure. The 2-year wait was worth it. Thank you so much for the time today. Best of luck with things.
Thank you so much.
Thanks to Gentleman Jesus for the intro and outro music. Hear more of his work at gentlemanjesus.com. Thanks to you for hanging out. For more of the show and to connect on social media, visit booksonpod.com. We'll talk to you next time. Books on Pod.